Thank you, Brian. Good to see you all. Good to be in church, and I hope that that is important to you. It's God's plan. Dave Manning didn't come up with the idea of church. God did. And it's good to come together. Growing up in a church, in fact, a guy is here this morning that grew up in that same church, Tommy back there, and we grew up in a church, name of it was Oakview Full Gospel Lighthouse. And I got saved when I was 12. And some point in my teen life, I got a life verse that has been my rock. And I want to talk about that verse this morning. How many have a life verse, one that is a rock to you? Do you not even know what I mean by that, some of you? It's a verse that you lean on because maybe you have a weakness and you need something to lean on. Maybe you find yourself going in different directions when you need to go in one direction. Maybe your focus is different things except Jesus Christ. And so it's a verse that keeps you on track. And this verse, as a young man, gripped me. And it has been that which has kept me. And it's, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all the other things to you in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. My life verse. And what was the deal? Well, I had a lot of things that preoccupied me. I was an amazing athlete. Some of you are wannabes. I was an athlete, and that became kind of an important thing of my life and kind of drove me and played a lot of different sports. But when I came to this verse, it grabbed hold of my heart. I may be an athlete and I may play sports, but there's something that overrides all that. Something that drives me to seek His kingdom and His purpose as an athlete, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, a father. Something that drives you. And for me, it was this verse. Let's put it up. And I want us to read a couple of verses ahead of it. It's found in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Start with verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. When you read this, there's so many things that I want to share with you that hit me, and I my head is just scrambling all over the place with things that I want to say. First of all, seeking, it says the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things, so don't seek those things. He's going to take care of you. And Jesus uses these three terms, these three things, your food, what you wear, your clothing, and your stature. Those things, don't seek those things. Don't seek making those things important. But He begins this by lining out and saying to us something that is a clue of what He's talking about here. Because He says to begin this in verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Don't be worried about your life. You see, we're pretty preoccupied with that. You know, we get preoccupied, someone hurts us, and you know, it's all about me. They hurt me. We become preoccupied and said, hey, they're having a problem here and that they're striking out at me. How can I help them? How can I love them? You see, there's a contrast here, and he uses the contrast between how the Gentiles live and what they do and then a believer. And he says to them, you have little faith, but you have faith. He tells these Christians, these new believers, these disciples of him that are following him, now you are not to be like the Gentiles. You have faith, albeit you have a little faith right now, but you have faith, and I want you to follow me, and this is how you seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be preoccupied with your life. Don't let that be the thing that everything that comes into play has to do with how it affects you. Would you hear that? I mean, have you ever met anyone that there's something terrible that happens and you tell them and all of a sudden they're talking about themselves and something that affected them and how it, have you ever done that? Yeah, has anyone ever done, am I the only one? Now, come on. Yeah. Don't be preoccupied with your life. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about how things affect you and maybe seem to hurt you and do harm to you. Don't worry about those things. You know, Paul's a perfect example of that. I mean, the guy was beaten. He was depressed to the place where he says, I'm perplexed, but I'm not giving up. He was so down and so withdrawn in himself, but he always turned it around. And then in that, all those things that he went through, this is what he said. It was for your sake that I'm depressed. It's for your sake that I'm being beaten. It was for your sake. You see, everything had to do about other people, about the kingdom of God. Not about himself. We're not to be preoccupied with ourselves. How things affect me. No, how is it affecting me? How can I touch someone's life? How can be effective in someone else's life? That was Paul, and that was his approach to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Giving up your life. Giving up yourself for the purpose of what he wants to do. Of his kingdom, giving up your life to bring glory to God. Now that's to be our life. And he says, seek first the kingdom, seek. And the idea there is continually. And by the way, it says, but, or rather. And I just had this thought that came to mind. He says, don't be worried about your life. Let me add something here. Don't be worried about your life, but be worried about the kingdom. Now listen, do you ever worry about the kingdom? He said, what? God's in control. Yeah, God is in control. God definitely is in control, but he said, they asked Jesus, how should we pray? Teach us to pray. And he says, our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now listen to this. This is how we pray. Your kingdom come on earth. Here, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And you look at heaven when you read Revelation, I think it's the 5th chapter, and you see the calmness, you see the authority, you see peace, you see worship, you see tranquility, you see the authority of God, you see incredible things in heaven. And he says, that's what I want down here. Now, do you have that? Is that what you see down here? Tranquility? Do you see peace? Do you see, are you in a place where you just kind of float around in his presence? Or do you feel weight on your life? I don't think there's going to be any of that weight in heaven, but we feel it here. And so if you're going to worry about something, worry about the kingdom. Worry about what God wants. And that's what he's teaching us. Be concerned with the things of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, not only by your own actions and what you do, and we'll talk about, and his righteousness in just a moment, but in your life, seeking him first, his kingdom. Worry about his stuff. You say, well, I never thought of it that way. Well, good. I want you to start thinking that way, because you need to think, you need to worry about stuff. Well, what do you mean? Well, that single mother who's struggling with her kid, you know, her children, and she's having a hard time meeting her needs or whatever it might be, you worry about her. You worry about those kids, that they have a life in Jesus Christ. We're the body of Christ. We work together in these things. We're concerned about his kingdom. How about that teenage, rebellious child? You know, yeah, amen. That rebellious teenager. What's your approach to that? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom. So what's the kingdom when it comes to that rebellious child? Well, she just needs to be beaten. You see, our attitude is not kingdom thinking, because if you're thinking about his kingdom first when it comes to a teenager, what should you be doing? I'll tell you, the first thing you ought to be doing is praying. You take on that weight. You worry about that person. You're concerned, and so what are you going to do? You don't want to just get ulcers, and that's what we'll do, is all we do is worry about the kingdom or about that teenager. No, you begin to pray. You begin to seek God. You begin to care about that person, and then because you care so much, you go out of your way to love on that person a little bit. That's concerned about the kingdom. That's seeking the kingdom of God first. You don't shun people. You don't shy away from them. You're seeking the kingdom first. When there's someone who's bothering you, oh, they just drive you nuts. What do? You seek the kingdom first. You seek him first. You reach out to them. You overcome your selfishness, because you've come to the place you realize that life is not about me. I need to die in my life. I consider someone else, and even that person that's bothering me. I don't shun and shy away. Carrie said to me, Dad, I know what you do. No, I said, what do you mean? She said, someone that bothers you, I've seen you. You go out of your way over and over again. Now, just because I hug on you, that doesn't mean that you bother me. She said, you press into people because you know that's kingdom. That's what Christ wants. You understand that? If you do, say amen. Well, that wasn't too bad, actually. Here's kind of the world's philosophy. Things that happen are just accidents. That's one of the world's philosophies. I'm going to give you two. The world's philosophy, by the way, Jesus said, don't be like the Gentiles, those who don't have faith in God and believe in God and trust in God. Don't be like those unbelievers who aren't squarely sold out for the kingdom. Unbelievers, some of them, think that things are just an accident. That whatever happens, well, that's the way it is. It'll be over soon. And the candlelight will be blown out. You'll be snuffed. It's all done. And you don't have to worry about those things either. There's no more. Then there's the other group of Gentiles that they kind of believe in a God, but there's not a relationship here. They're kind of the ones that sing that song. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Okay, let's try it again. You sing with me. So you can tell your neighbor, yeah, we sang in church. Que sera, sera. Okay, let's sing it. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours, you see. Que sera, sera. Hey, not too bad. I don't know if we were on, but not too bad. And that is, hey, you know, Yeah, there's a future, but you have nothing to do with the future. That is not true. Why would Jesus tell us how to pray? Why would he tell us to seek first, to continually seek first the kingdom of God? Seek, 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 continually seek. It's something that is in your life that you press in and you press in and you press in. He said, ye have little faith, because we don't always do that, and we need to bring ourselves around. We need to memorize the scripture, and it needs to hit us over and over and meditate on it, that we seek his kingdom first, his rule, how he lives, what he does, his care for a world that is lost, the kingdom of God, the kingdom, choices that we make as we think about the kingdom. Okay, what is best for the kingdom? What is best for God's kingdom? The decisions that I make, what is, in this decision, is this going to further his kingdom, bring glory in his kingdom, or am I just thinking selfishly and living for myself? My kingdom, how things affect me, what I can get out of life, trying to save my life. Jesus made it very clear, you try to save your life and you're going to lose it. But the one who loses his life will find it, or he'll find something of glory or the weightiness of his kingdom in his life. So, is that where you are? And we're at different places in our walk with God. That's why he said, ye have little faith. There are some who are little of faith, and you have a faith in God, but I think God wants us to up it. He wants to create in us a greater trust in him. You know, the businessman, I know a businessman that he was going to lose a third of his business. He's not here this morning because he's on a bike ride. But I don't mean to talk about Mike. He was going to lose, and I remember when we went through it together. I said, Pastor Dave, this guy wants me to cheat. He wants me to lie. And he was tempted. It was a third of his business. And he couldn't have made it. He said, man, I'm struggling. I said, I know you make the right decision. And he did. He didn't lie. And the guy took his business, a third of his business. And he's going to go under. But all of a sudden, you see, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these other things. His business got blessed, and it doubled. And it doubled again. And he prospered because the kingdom meant more to him than anything else. Now, what if he lost the business? What if he lost the business? I have to say to that, so what? So what? It's the Heavenly Father that we're trying to please. And he's going to bring something else about. He's going to do something else. Or what if he wants you to live in a certain kind of poverty? Now, I don't think that that's the case, but what if? You say, what you mean, is that possible? Well, you look in Scripture and some of those, you know, wherever those disciples, he says, don't even take money with you. What? Don't worry about those things. They were poverty-stricken, but God took care of them. God blessed them. Yeah, they were all killed. Yeah, hung upside down and, you know, tortured and put in, but we talk about them today because they sought the kingdom first. Now listen, don't be molded into the world's standard of things. Don't be squeezed into what the world, and we're so easily squeezed. Romans, Paul told us that in Romans 12. Don't be squeezed into the seek first the kingdom of God. Others might be doing it, and they might even call themselves Christians. But you be different. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You give yourself to God and say, God, what do you want? If I lose it all, that's fine for your glory and your honor. I seek first the kingdom of God. I remember that verse being strong, and I was strong with me and a rock for me, and I remember times that I failed in. I remember a time that, and when I was first trying to go to a church and pastor, and someone else that I knew, have you heard this story, that I knew, he got a church, and it was like, I know him, he's a scoundrel, and I am wonderful. As the psalmist said, my feet will nigh slip when I consider the prosperity of the wicked. But then it came back, no, God, man, what are you doing? Oh, I've got to seek you. You're first. God, your kingdom first. Let me tell you, he adds those things. Now, let me tell you something that happens to you when you begin to seek the kingdom of God first and you begin to pray. There creates a relationship here. A relationship with God that becomes different than when you're just serving yourself. I can remember as a teenager, and even in times as a young pastor at 23, I remember go visiting my brother, and there was just something different about him. And I wish that I had it. For instance, a perfect example is when he prayed over a meal. It was so good. There was life to it. When I prayed over a meal, Father, thank you for this food. Blessed are our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my favorite prayer. That's how I prayed it, mechanically. You understand what I'm saying? That is, you know, let's get this over with. Let's get to the meat of the thing. Thank you for this food. Bless our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. My brother, it was not that way. And we go visit, and he says, hey, let's sing a song first. Our family doesn't do that. But let's sing a song first, and they would sing a song. And then he would pray, and it had such life. And I thought as a teenager and a young man, how come I can't think of those things? That's just so good how we praise. It wasn't mechanical. My brother was in the Word, and my brother sought the kingdom first. My brother gave himself to Christ, and in it he created a relationship with God, and it just oozed out of him. And I can remember praying, God, I want to be like my brother. You know, I'm a pastor, you know, at that time, a young pastor. You know, man, I don't know. And it was actually years later that it clicked in me. I believe in seeking first the kingdom of God. That was my rock, but there were so many times that it didn't resonate, that I didn't do it, that I didn't live that way. And I sought my own kingdom. I manipulated. I was a Jacob. Manipulating people and trying to work things out in a fleshly manner. Carrie calls me the magnificent manipulator. Now, she means that she told her college class that. But I said, what did you mean by that? She said, Dad, nothing but the best. And then she told me, she said, I remember when we'd be working outside, and you would say, man, we do good work. Man, you're just doing such a great job. And that's what she meant. I was always positive, always getting her to do things by complimenting her, and it worked marvelously. But there were times that I used that technique instead of the kingdom first, manipulating people like Jacob. And God had to change some things in my life to bring me back to a place of surrender that my life does not matter. His life matters. Seeking Him. And as I died in Him and allowing the pressures and the heartache of church pastoring to infiltrate and do a work on me for others, then that relationship changed. Then it was I was grateful for the things I was going through because it brought glory to God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first, continually seek. Seek and first and foremost. You give your life to that. Then it says, and his righteousness. Now what's his righteousness? What is his righteousness? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that he would add all the other things to our life. That we don't need to worry about those life things and how things are affecting me, but things will come back around to me and my life will be blessed and fulfilled and satisfied in Jesus Christ. What's his righteousness? I told you the first one last week, and let me repeat it. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't call them and say, I'm going to make you moral people. They were moral people. And they became even more moral. But what does that mean, morality? Because we all have different morality, a different sense of what that is. What is being moral? There's a group of people who believe you that you should not use makeup. I don't use it myself. But that's a tradition. That's not what the Bible talks about. Those are things that it's okay to have those traditional things. But what is his righteousness? What is the thing? Well, the first thing was, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That his kingdom, that you think of other people's salvation more important than your comfort. Jesus didn't save you to make you happy. Do you know that? He didn't. He didn't save you to put a smile on your face. It did. He saved you to seek his kingdom first. And you see those early disciples? I just don't think that when they were being burned on the stake, that it was, feels good. There might have been a gratefulness that they could do it for the cause of Christ, but they would have chose something different. I mean, if they had an opportunity. Do you think that God created marriage to make you happy? Ben's getting married. Ben, if you're getting married to be happy, oh, baby. Marriage is God's way, a commitment to two people to make you righteous and holy, to knock off the ugly things in your life. Now, I don't know why I went down that path, but his righteousness. Well, he gives us a kind of a clue here in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. His righteousness. At the end of chapter 5, here's his righteousness. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You've heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, it actually doesn't say that. But the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they took the law and they twisted it to meet their needs or how they were going to judge people by. So you've heard it said, thou shalt love your neighbor. It does say love your neighbor, but not hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Those who do you dirty, pray for those. Now we're talking about his kingdom here, see? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So that you may be the sons of God. Or it says the sons of your Father. So that you'll truly be a Christian. So they, I mean, there's a lot of Christians out there. I just heard this morning, someone told me that those, I need to be careful because I want to curse. Are the kids in here? Then it'd be okay. No, I won't. I forget what church it is. They went to, what's the celebrity that passed away recently? Robin Williams. And they went to his funeral and they boycotted and they said ugly things. You know, that's the group of people that goes to funerals and they said God's getting them and God killed him and, you know, just horrible, horrible stuff. Let me say, that's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. Christianity is loving your enemy. And you say, well, man, I don't know if I can do that. I know ye of little faith. Oh, that's what Jesus said. But you see, that's the point. You have faith in God. You need to grow in that faith. Because if you're going to be righteous as he is righteous, his righteousness, you're going to love your enemies. What was Christ in his relationship with his enemies? He died for them. The Romans crucified him. Spitting on him. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. I mean, his attitude was so different because he was in the kingdom. He was caring about other people. It wasn't his life that mattered. It was others' lives that mattered. And he was willing to die for them because their lives mattered. Let me tell you, that's his righteousness. You think of other people. That's why Paul could say, you consider other people more important than yourself. You know, I can remember as a young pastor meditating on that and thinking, that can't be. That is impossible. But I'm starting to get a glimpse of that. I'm starting to understand that a little more. Yeah, it can be. When you're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and you get deep into his love, and you see what he's done for you, all of a sudden you begin to ooze with love. And when it comes to righteousness, you know, we don't condemn people. We don't put people down. We show respect. I mean, Paul said, show respect to all people. And we accept people, but when it comes to sins, and you can do a blanket thing of sins, you care about them because they're damaging their life. They're damaging their lives, and especially the sexual sins. They're damaging their life inside. There's something, the Bible says, they sin against themselves. And there's something that is happening to them. And so you care about them, and you ache for them. You're bothered. This is the kingdom. You worry about them. You don't hate them. You're not mad at them. You don't feel better than them. You ache for them. Don't worry about your life. Worry about other people's lives and the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you can begin to get an idea that you can love your enemies. It is possible as you gain in your faith in him and your trust in him and you go deep into his love. As Paul said, the love of Christ motivates me. Not his love. You can't love your enemies on your own love and your own ability. You can't do it. That is a supernatural thing. But as you begin to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. But it takes the pursuit, the hunger. God, you see me. I don't like them. In fact, I pretty much hate them. God, but that's not your kingdom. I need help here. God, wash me and cleanse me. God, do something in me to change me. God, I want to be like your dear son who loved his enemies. How about another one? His righteousness. This Sermon on the Mount is just full of this kind of thing. You've heard it said, and this is verse 21 of Matthew 5, you've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. Haven't done that one. I'm good to go. You know, I used to preach about the Sermon on the Mount that God upped it, that grace always upped it, and he's upping it. But then I heard John Stott not too long ago, and he said, he quoted, kind of quoted me, of those who believe that God just kind of upped it in grace. And then he contradicted me. And he said, no. He said, what he was showing was what the law really meant and what was really behind it. It wasn't just not doing something. It was relationship. And before Jesus, before the Father ever gave the law, he had a relationship with the people of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He did miracles for them to gain a relationship with them. Then he gives the law. But it all has to do with relationship. Thou shalt not murder. Have you heard it said, thou shalt not murder? And then he's going to give us the real meaning. See, they would say, yeah, I haven't murdered. I'm good to go. I don't have to feel bad. Listen to what he said. You have heard it said, ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable of the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Murder, guilty before the court. Angry, guilty toward the court.
What?
I love saying that.
What?
How? Wait a minute. Not even to become angry? Man, I'm not there. Are you there? You see, you got to be honest. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about not being there. That's why when you see I'm not there, you come back to His grace and His mercy. God, forgive me. I need you, and I need a better insight. I need a better understanding. God, I am a sinner that needs you. I'm a sinner that needs you. Because I am not there, don't even become angry. There's times that I become angry. How can that be? How can that be? Let me tell you how it can be. That you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You see, our problem is we're trying to do righteousness in ourselves. And it comes out ugly. It comes out perverted. Our righteousness, when we do righteousness in ourselves, you know, just living to be seen or trying to do what's right, then we're ugly toward people. We get angry at people. We're frustrated with people. But when it's His righteousness, and you get in His love, it begins to permeate your life. Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what to do. Forgive them. Forgive them. When you get in Jesus Christ, He changes everything. Now, I can almost hear someone say, yeah, but what about Jesus got angry? Yeah, He did. But it wasn't about Him. It was about what they were doing. You see, there are some times that you get angry, but it can't be about you. It was about how people, it was injustices that were taking place. It was how people were hurting other people. And it wasn't a matter of Him, them doing something to Him. But you see, in our anger, when it has to do with, it always has to do with us. They had a smart thing they said to me. Next time I get with them. Don't even become angry. Let me tell you, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, and I read it differently many years ago than I had before, I read it with Jesus' eyes, trying to. And when I did that, I really began to see some things. I realized, there's no one that lives this. There's no one that can live this. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus lived it. Jesus lived it. And he tells us not to consider our life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he does something inside of us that begins to change us, and we begin to grow in faith, and we begin to live some of these things. We begin to grow in faith. We begin to become more like Jesus Christ and have a greater capacity for love of others, and not thinking of ourselves, but caring about other people. That's what he does. A miracle, a transformation, because we seek first the kingdom of God. We're taking fun of. So where are you? Where are you? Are you seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness? Or is it to satisfy your life? You will never know the power of God without seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. You will never know the glory that ascends upon you and begins to change your heart inside toward other people. You'll never know that. All you'll know is a religion. And all you know is that life is rigorous. This Christianity is hard. There's so many hypocrites. I'm just waiting for someone to say to me, there's hypocrites at your church. I'm just hoping, because I've heard that before. Because I want to say to them, well, come and join, you'll fit in. Is there anyone here who's not a hypocrite? Is there anyone that can stand up and say, I am like Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you, I think that if you were like that, it would be a thing like Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. I think so. We're all weak and frail, and we need more of his righteousness, more of his strength and his power. So, Father, give us a hunger. Give us a hunger to seek your kingdom. Give us a hunger for your righteousness. Give us a hunger for your word, that we might learn and meditate, that it might wash and cleanse us, that we might delight in what you say. For we thank you, we can delight in those things because you have washed us and cleansed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you have made us whole and perfect in your sight, and you just want to work in us to become more like your dear Son. Give us those desires. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this song. So I challenge you to meditate on this. Memorize Matthew 6:33. Let's all say it together. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things. So today, as you go, would you go with the determination to seek his righteousness, seek his kingdom? Would you go with a prayer in your heart that would say, God, help me. I feel weak here. You know, be honest to God. Be honest with him about this. So go with that prayer and with that desire, wanting to please him. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.